What's going on, my people? You're listening to The Score, an urban music education podcast hosted by Eric and Justin, where we discuss tips and strategies on how to become a more effective, compassionate, and culturally responsive music educator. What's going on, my people? This is Eric.
And this is Justin.
And we're your hosts for The Score. Welcome to episode 31, Work-Life Balance.
Man.
Now, I brought that up, bro, because most of the time we were able to at least somewhat disconnect when we got home, you know? And not having that ability to quote-unquote disconnect now is making me wonder how people are handling that aspect.
It's different, man. It's definitely a different environment, for real, for real.
So what have you done? Are there some things that you and I have talked about this before, and you've pretty much told me about some systems, some routines that you put in place to make sure that you don't do too much of what we do at work and bring it home. But this is inevitable now. We have to be at home. So
are
you doing anything in particular to kind of to make some balance?
I can't say that I have, man. I think one thing me and my wife have done is we've just tried, like, so Monday through Friday, we try to get done with all of the kids' schoolwork by Thursday. So that way Friday and the weekend, they can just kind of chill and we can do other things that's not so like school oriented. But throughout the week, we make it mandatory that they take a nap around the 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock block. And during that nap time, our baby is usually taking a nap or just chilling right then. So we can kind of both get things accomplished or just kind of take a breather, because our kids are up at like 6:30, 7 o'clock. So we hitting the ground running from like 7 o'clock to about 1, 2 o'clock is getting work done. I'm in the midst of emails and, you know, online meetings and uploading and checking this. And my wife is, we're kind of co-teaching. She is at the same time working on some stuff. She's working on a real estate license. So it's just, there's a lot of things that we don't get to divide the time or say this hour of the day, I have no distractions. I'm just doing this. So during that 2 o'clock block, we try to sit down. If she's able to catch up on some work, she does. If not, then we just kind of sit and just like take a breather. And then on Saturdays, we kind of switch off. She has the morning session. I'm with the kids. She kind of just chills in her room or in whatever area she's in the house. And then right around the lunch, afternoon time, then we switch and I kind of take care of some school stuff or just sit and look at Netflix just to kind of get a breather. But that's pretty much it, man. We in the house all day. So that little nap time provides that small window for us to get a little bit of normalcy or just to get a breather from, I don't know how to do this. Can you fix me something to drink? You know, all that kind of stuff.
So, you know, it's funny you bring that up because I saw a post of somebody actually got upset of seeing a teacher at the grocery store during the day. Exactly. And I started thinking about, like, man, we don't know even that teacher situation,
right?
which led me to post something today, man. And by the time
I saw that, it was a good post, bro.
Man, I got that from Ram Estrada, director of fine arts from Lamar Consolidated. And I believe he got it from somebody else. But I want to read that real quick, man. So if in case people don't have us on social media, people need to hear this. And it's titled, "Not Every Teacher. Not every teacher lives in conditions they want broadcasted to their coworkers or students over video conferencing. Not every teacher can afford to buy a craft store to convert their living room into learning in Wonderland.
Right.
Not every teacher has the bandwidth, literally or otherwise, to become an online instructor overnight. Not every teacher can put their health at risk to pass out work packets or meals to families in need. Not every teacher works in neighborhoods you can parade through. Not every teacher has the in-home support to balance being a caregiver, instructor, chef, tutor, and tech support all day. But one thing every teacher is doing is trying. Through pandemics, technology breakdowns, revolving expectations, and unknown unknowns, we keep trying and keep teaching. So if you feel like you are not every teacher, principal, paraprofessional, librarian, or counselor, please know this. While your daily diligence may not go viral, the work you do is vital. Truly. Thank you." Man, because, you know, we talked about in the last episode about the student situation.
Yeah.
But we didn't really touch too much on the teacher situation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's true that we don't know sometimes our colleagues' personal home life. They could be living at home with their elderly parents, being a caregiver. You know, they could be going through marital hardships. They could be going, you know, it just
all kind of stuff
that at they don't need to disclose. But now it's being pushed in the forefront on, you know, forcefully, given that we have to be online, that we have to create this situation where, I mean, I thought about that. I was like, I'm already thinking about, okay, if contingency plans, if you will, like we already have a dedicated space, but I'm recording this thing right now in my closet, you know, and it's like, I even had to text the wife like, hey, I'm going to turn off the AC for now. I'm going to be in the closet and she's taking care of both kids. And like you said, man, it takes, especially with children in the household and two small ones, it takes planning. And you could say I'm privileged in the fact that I have my partner, my wife here to help me with that. Where, you know, single parents now, and they don't have that liberty. Exactly, man. And so I started thinking about how does this work? Because, you know, I've seen some of our colleagues saying they're responding to emails at 10 o'clock. They're saying they're staying up till, you know, late at night, you know, communicating back and forth with students on troubleshooting their online platforms, you know. So, you know, when you think of that, man, what should we do? What, as us as educators, given that we are here to serve, we chose the profession to obviously, you know, develop the new generation. But,
of course,
you know, when should you say no? When should you say it, put a limit? You know, how do we do that?
I just think that you have to keep the main school hours, the school hours. And I think what we forget, and I'm glad you posted that. I'm glad that you just read it right now, because it's a reminder that school, public education, is a two-way street, right? We always look at it from a standpoint of the kids. This is a safe haven. We're teaching them. But good teachers are learning. Good teachers are looking at their school as a safe haven at times as well. I know it's plenty of times you and me have been like, man, I'm excited to be at work today. Or I really needed to be at work today. I was just having a bad morning. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe things at home just kind of frustrated me to be able to come to my school, this blank canvas, teach these kids, kind of decompress from what may be going on the outside world. You know, use that energy towards my career. And then I can go back and take what I've learned throughout the day and expose that and use that as a tool, you know, in my personal life. And then on the other hand, it's knowing that the same way that the kids are at home dealing with more than maybe one device and more siblings, or maybe you don't have a device, this, that, and the third, or you're having to do all your work in your room because this, that, all these other issues, the teacher's going through the same thing. And so I think we as teachers, we want to be respected. I know I try not to reach out to kids. I don't reach out to any kids, you know, past Friday. You know what I'm saying? If they hit me over the weekend, I try to respond quick thing Monday morning. If it's a dire need, like some of my eighth graders are looking through the audition music. So some of them messaged me on Saturday, like around 12, like, hey, Mr. McLean, I had a question about this, that, and the third. I email them back, hey, we'll discuss this on Tuesday during our Zoom. But I think for the most part, keep your school hours. Like if parents are hitting you up on Friday at 6 or Saturday at 7 o'clock, like you're not on the job, man. You know, and I hate to make it seem like we're just, everybody, like the pandemic is affecting everybody. You know, and so the same way you glad that you got a weekend, for us, the weekend, like my weekend is starting to look like work because I'm at my house Monday through Friday and I'm at my house over the weekend. So it's not like the weekend is I come home Friday evening and then I'm around my family from Friday to Sunday. I do the church thing. Every normal way of life that took me going is now me staying. So I'm viewing my church online. And for me on the weekend, I'm recording worship service. You know, I'm recording music for church. And so me and my wife, we plan the music, we rehearse, we record, edit, send it off. So there's more things that I'm doing. So I just think as teachers, don't feel shame. Don't feel, you know, like you're a bad teacher if you don't respond. If parents are calling or emailing you or trying to get on a Zoom over the weekend, you just say, hey, I'll be available Monday. But I just think right now mental health is a very big thing. And so to preserve your mental health, to be prepared for all that's going to entail when we get back in August, man, save yourself, say no, reach out when you can, and it's going to be just fine, man. It's going to be just fine.
That what you talked about, man, that you mentioned that it's like kind of a blur now.
Yeah.
And because it's a blur, you know, we had physical, tangible things like buildings to leave.
Right.
That, even within our profession, it's hard to leave, you know, work at work, and we were bringing it home, and we know we were answering emails, or you know, especially at, you know, at whatever level you're responding to a PO, you're responding to your fine arts director's email, and it's just, we know that how much of this takes up of our time. And I've now realized more than ever that it's kind of like you have to put those practices in place and be unapologetic about it. That component about being unapologetic, because, you know, if you get an email on Monday from an administrator saying, I got an email from a parent over the weekend saying you didn't respond to them, it's like, okay, I will first thing this morning. Thanks.
Exactly.
You know? But we know teachers and the whole teaching profession is overworked and underpaid, man.
Oh, yeah.
And so I love that you says that, because I mean, we need to destigmatize mental health and just in the communities of color, but everywhere,
right.
But especially in communities of color. Like, we don't talk about that. And and if we do, it's not at the level that it should be. And we need to practice that. We need to model. You know, my wife sent me, because we've had a couple days of my little 2-year-old who we just celebrated his birthday, man.
Happy birthday.
You know? So my boy AJ is at days, very energetic. And
I already know.
You know what I'm saying? It might be at 11 o'clock at night, and we're like, why are you not asleep?
Man, you know? You're talking my life right now, bro. You are talking my life, brother.
So this is, she sent me a meme and a quote that said, of a person saying this, some of y'all seem to forget that children are just small people trying to figure out the world.
Yeah.
They're allowed to have breakdowns. They're allowed to not like things, allowed to have a hard time. Stop expecting children to handle their emotions when y'all can't handle yourselves.
Yeah,
you know what
that's
I mean?
Good.
And it was it put things in perspective, because, like, there are days where we're frustrated and, you know, we catch ourselves or we redirect ourselves, like, you know what, I'm not feeling it today, or I got you, or, you know, and so we need to be mindful of that. So us teachers that have little ones at home that might not have the luxury of a partner or of the help of a family member, whatever, we have to be mindful of that we have to keep our kids sane and whole at home. And then while we're still being of integrity and doing our jobs to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
But at what cost? And that's where we don't want people to go. And because I've seen some really frustrating posts from colleagues just saying, like, I didn't sign up for this. I have 147 students and only, you know, 30 have signed in. You know, all these things that go into the narrative of feeling like a failure.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, man, nobody knows how to manage this right now. Literally,
and that's
nobody.
My thing. That's my thing. I feel like you can't look online and let that be your definition of how you rate yourself as an educator in this context and in this moment and in this season of our careers, because this is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this. And by God's grace, hopefully we'll never experience this. You know, we'll have plans now. Now, you know, we go to TBAs, the TMEAs. Now when all our teacher friends are at trainings, they're going to be preparing for if another pandemic happens, what type of online learning. And I just think you have to take that for what it is. I have as many kids. I know, Eric, you got a lot of kids that you're responsible for. And some of them are going to log in. Some of them may do the assignment. Some of them may do it 2 weeks late. It just is what it is. You keep being of integrity. You keep doing what you're doing. And you just let it. You let the chips fall where they may. Because we cannot do what we've been trained to do in the physical online. Right. So you've been taught, we both learned how to do differentiated instruction. And I think both of our personalities, we thrive off of energy. And so in the classroom, you know, it's quick for me to analyze and say, okay, they didn't understand that phrase. They didn't understand what I just said. Let me say it another way. Let me move in this direction. We know, okay, I spent too much time on the warm up. How do I make up in this during sight reading or whatever the case may be during our classroom time? We can't do that. Our normal things that we've trained ourselves to do, we cannot. I can't analyze that. I don't know about you, but the time delay across, you know, Zoom is crazy. So even trying to play, you know, a few times this week, I was playing some of the phrases I was trying to help the kids with. And it's just like, I got to do the best what I can with the hand I've been dealt. And we'll just pick it up where we pick off in August. Just be encouraged to know that your teaching skill will only be enhanced, and the development of your students will only be enhanced, because when you get back in August, when you get back in front of those kids, when you get back in your band hall, when you pick that baton up, when you're able to, you know, highlight things on your score and tell kids to, you know, we're gonna be reinvigorated. So right now, man, just take it as it comes, man. And I know that sounds very like, I don't want you to hear me say, hey, just sit at home and don't do anything. No, still be of integrity, still work hard. I'm still planning for summer band. But when I look online, I just looked online earlier this weekend and some of the kids didn't do the assignment. Mm. It's just like, it just is what it is right now. It is what it is, man.
So, I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Chris Edmond. He wrote the book for white people that teach in the hood and for you too.
Okay.
And so he does a lot of urban education work, and he pretty much kind of tweeted out about, poor pedagogical practices. Don't blame them on Zoom.
Yeah,
right. And he got flamed for that, but he held his ground and said what it was, but he backed it up. It was like, hey, right now it's be innovative, use their resources, use yep. WhatsApp, use Instagram, use YouTube, all these things.
Yep.
And now I get that. So there's like this balance of understanding everybody's capacity, where we mentioned this in the last episode, how many of our colleagues know how to even upload a video to YouTube?
You
know,
talk about it.
Okay. You want me to do that? So I'll go to youtube.com. What do I do next? You know what I mean? What,
it says thumbnail. It says pick a pic.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
What is it saved now? You know what I mean? Bro, you and I and a lot of our colleagues
right.
have those people in our school buildings that are
they
like,
don't know what
hey,
to, they have no clue.
On your off period, can you swing
can
by?
Can you come by and show me? Yeah.
And then you have to do it for them.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Right.
And so all that to say, can we expect that teacher to all of a sudden be this IT specialist? And it's no, we cannot.
Right.
And so every day we got to wake up with this mindset of just like, okay, I've done what I can.
Yes.
And close the laptop.
Come on, man. That's it.
I mean, Trevor Noah joked about it the other day, and he's like, when the work week is over, Friday's closed. And he just switches over to the other side of the couch and opens his laptop back up and says, the weekend is here.
You know what I mean? Yo, that's real life, though. That's real life.
It is. But as long as that when you open the laptop, you're not doing work for,
no,
you know what I mean?
No,
go
no.
ahead and listen to your crime podcast. Go ahead
right,
and binge
right,
watch Tiger
right.
King again. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
It's all this to say, this is all a very, very nimble exposed
mm-hmm.
venture that we're all taking on. And yeah. I want to make sure that when we get out of this, and I know this for a fact because I'm feeling this right now,
yeah.
I had to kind of candidly tell my professors, not kind of, I had to be very honest and just saying, you know what? I want to do this work and I want to do it of integrity, but I'm not reaching, you know, I don't have literally the space nor yeah. the time to
concentration to just devote to it right
exactly,
now.
Bro.
Yeah, man.
And when I do, you know what I mean? I block myself. I get those hours in and I do my best. But even then, what happens? The kids are crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like you have to stop what you're doing because it's different. Right. You know, I literally pride myself of being that coffee shop connoisseur.
Yeah.
And knowing that I can go open up the laptop, throw some headphones on and get some
work
in.
Done. Yeah.
But when you know, when you pour in your own coffee beans at the house and you got to go and open the laptop up. And,
right.
You know, it just all this to say that we have to be mindful of ourselves. So one yeah. thing that I have done and I'm glad I'm doing it is mm-hmm. I'm doing the same thing you're doing. By Friday, man, I really do my best to not do any work.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be for my work, even for my doctoral class or mm-hmm. for my classes or my work at Prairie View. All right. this to say is like Saturday became that like, hey, this is family day. This is where we're going to like lounge. This is where we're going to do X, yeah. Y. You know, we're going to yeah. binge watch some stuff. What do you want to mm-hmm. eat? We're going to intentionally think about going and benefiting some of our local restaurants. Okay, what are we going to eat out today?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
even those little small little things of different from the normal, you know, cooking at
right.
home all day
yeah, yeah.
keeps us sane. But yep. it's to say it's like, okay, close the laptop, don't respond to emails, and just be present to what's happening right now. Especially, let's say you're by yourself, man, and this is where
man.
You have virtual parties. This is where you FaceTime
right.
your parents. This is where you,
yeah.
you know, all the things that we know at times we've blamed our job or the number
we
of hours.
Be doing it. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. So we have to be mindful of those things because I don't want to get to a point now where teachers leave because they didn't sign up for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now with the whole insecurity of what's going to happen in the fall, whether are we going to go back to our school buildings or not, you know,
right,
for marching right. band directors, they're already talking about the contingency plan of moving the season to the spring and or not having one at all. Or,
yeah,
you know,
that's crazy.
It's just this is unprecedented times and uncharted yep. waters. So for us, man, we got to do things for ourselves, you know?
Yes. I really believe, man, that right now this time is a moment to, like I said, be of integrity, still do your job, but figure out how to make grounds in those areas that, not saying that you've neglected, but just because of the way life is, the way we have to get up and go, and I got to be here and I got to be there. I'm just making the most of the time. Me and Eric can both attest to, you know, baby boy over here, he may go to sleep at 11. He may just be up at 12. But in the grand scheme of things, if they give us a clear call by July to be back and moving, we've got a vaccine, we've got a handle on this virus, then we already know that him being up 12 at 11 o'clock at night, as much as I hated it, I'm going to miss it because football season's back. Okay, we got region band. We got this. We got that. And so enjoy this time. Although the outside is very, you know, trivial and just crazy, just enjoy these moments where time has slowed down and just do what you can do, be of integrity, do your job, and just, man, just keep it moving, man. Because we teach kids that they got, you know, they'll be into something 1 minute and all of this will be of a faint memory by the time we get back in August, because they want to be back in the physical, you know. And so we cannot stress ourselves about, you know, if they logging in or if they logged in but they didn't look in our folder or they didn't. Come on, man. It's so much stuff going on. We just got to be okay with not being okay.
So let me ask you this, man. Are you cooking? Are you picking up some things? On
this is a no, Eric. You should have. I don't know why you would have asked me that. No, I'm just enjoying life, brother. I'm enjoying life. I have went to the grocery store much more than I would usually do. So I've been in there shopping, calling my wife, what aisle would I find this on?
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, outside of that, nothing too crazy. I mean, she's very happy because I'm here and the kids are like under control. So like if I do have to go to the grocery store or run an errand, she's like, hurry back. And I'm just like, what? They go crazy when you leave. So I'm just, you know, she's enjoying that. And it's just good to be around family. I know you, having your two little ones, man, I know it's a joy just to be around and seeing them like grow up in front of your eyes. You know,
it's an absolute blessing.
Yeah, we miss that, bro.
I'm glad you said that, man, because this past week when we had to do a virtual birthday party for AJ.
Yeah, it looked dope, man.
Man, it just, you know, the behind the scenes is what people don't see.
Right.
When you try to get a 2-year-old strapped into a seat, you know what I mean?
Happening.
And
nope.
So I'm just like you said, man, leading up to that, there were a couple frustrating moments of him kind of having some outbursts. But then when I finally saw him sit down and we sang happy birthday to him. And when we ended the Zoom party, he kept singing happy birthday to himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I just I thought to myself, he's going to remember the emotion, mm-hmm. the feeling, the environment that we provided, because he has no understanding of what's happening right now.
Yeah.
But does he feel happy? Does he feel entertained? Does he feel, you know what I mean? Does he feel loved? And that right there, man, is where I'm putting a lot of my energy.
That's good.
At the same time, while being of integrity and completing all the tasks that I've been given for my job.
Right.
As we take a break from our discussion, we're jumping into the segment called In Rotation. During this time, each of us will get an opportunity to share what we're currently listening to. Favorite artists, genre, album, playlist. If you have any recommendations, drop us a line on our social media platforms at PodTheScore or send us an email, podthescore@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. In Rotation, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so this past week, so my son actually shares his birthday with Selena Quintanilla of Selena y Los Dinos. So I kind of want to just shout out her. I haven't really been listening to her, but I had started listening to a podcast based on her on Latinos Who Lunch. And they were specifically talking about her album of Amor Prohibido, which means prohibited love or forbidden love. And that album itself is one of the more iconic albums because they were doing things. If you go listen to them, there's some like fusion of reggae sounds. There was the new sounds of Tejano of incorporating the keyboard with the guitar, all these things. Yeah. And so if you don't know of Selena, you know, check out the movie Selena, a Tex-Mex Tejano artist entitled and named the Queen of Tejano. Justin, what you got?
So this week, as a lot of you know, my musical upbringing and intro to music was in church. So the Clark Sisters is a very, very big and familiar name within the gospel circles, gospel church, black church. And so they had Lifetime put up a bio of their movie. And so Karen Clark Shear's daughter, Kiara Clark Shear, played her. And they had these other great singers within the gospel community and the African-American music community play these very profound figures. And it told their story and the ups and downs and how they kind of, you know, cross barrier lines in regards of popular music and gospel music and just what they mean to the gospel industry and just music in general, because so many secular artists, white, black, and in between, have heard their music and benefited from it. So I really, if you got time, go to Lifetime, the Clark Sisters, the movie, look up their music. It's game changing. So yeah.
All right, we're back. So Justin, man, we have a lot more time, but then we don't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because we're still all trying to figure. Some of us are in week three, some of us are in week six, some of us are, you know, in different stages of the stay-at-home orders. Some of us are advocating to not have them, but what we do have is time at home to do things that we might have not been able to do back at the schoolhouse.
Yeah,
you know, and because right now there's a big question mark. The state of Texas just canceled all school till the end of the year this past week. So there's no prom, no graduation, no band banquet, no X, Y, and Z of all these things that we know that as secondary teachers or even as music teachers, we put in these little traditions in place that mean the world to these kids.
Yeah.
That these freshmen walking into your programs, that these sixth graders walking into your programs look at and say, when I'm in eighth grade, I want to reach that point. When I'm going to reach that point. So we're, you know, this is all a weird time, but what we do have is more time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what do you think teachers could use that time to their benefit now in not knowing where we're going to go from here?
So I think on two things. You mentioned something that just sparked in my brain, how those little things, the band banquet, the naming of section leaders for the new year, giving awards out, you know, what that does. Although we may not be able to do that in the physical, how can you plan to still probably do that online? Like one of the things the staff at High Towers discussed is doing our band banquet online and doing a Zoom where we give out awards, we let people know who the new section leaders are. And I think it would be beneficial and it would provide some excitement and belief from our kids that as their leaders, their band directors and teachers, that we have not allowed this pandemic to change our desires and our focus. Like we may have to change the vehicle and the way we do it, but it hasn't killed us as directors of this program and that we are still thriving to build. Yeah, we may not have been able to go to UIL and we had some really good rehearsals, but we still pushing this thing like nothing has changed. And so I think just that in itself, like providing spaces, still doing things and just doing them in a different way. But as far as just planning for next year, man, I think when we talk about not overworking ourselves in the week and giving ourselves the weekend, it also lends time for you to look at August, September, October, and really just see the what seems impossible still possible. You know what I'm saying? So we as a staff are still working through. We're picking what marching competitions are going to be the best. We're waiting on replies back. We're still, you know, finalizing our show. We have, you know, getting the opener done, second movement, getting the drum parts arranged. And hopefully getting our final numbers. Like we've been taking a poll, sending out a survey to all the incoming eighth graders and returning students about, hey, are you doing band? Are you interested in jazz band? What this, that, and the third, finalizing our numbers so we can get them over to our drill writer. And so we want to have all of these things in place. And we've already planned that if we get a clear call to go back in June to kind of softly go back into our school settings, we want to do some weekly sectional building time. We want to do some weekly section leader building time and some weekly like drum stuff, and then waiting to the end of July to really go full slot for color guard camp, drumline camp. And I'm just sitting here planning out everything. Like, I'm planning out, what do I want my warm-up book to look like? What do I want my sequence? I've never been able to sit and talk about, what do I want my sequence to look like when we get to a game? Like, how many times are we going to play in the first half as to not overplay ourselves? What do we want to run during the warm-up sequence? You know, what are some things, you know, that I want to do game by game, recognizing a section, maybe recognizing a player from each instrument to kind of build notoriety and just build a new normal and a new tradition for my drum section, for my front ensemble. And so I think the encouragement is sit down and see what you can do. Myself and Mr. Siebel, who are over at the middle school, we've already talked about, with all the online training we've been forced to further learn and get better at, how can we insert in that into our teaching where we can get more time in the classroom doing sight reading, working on rhythm and tone, if we say, hey, you need to submit the playing test that we've been working on for your scales and the first part of whatever March online. That should be in our, you should have that submitted by this Friday at this time. We're going to keep working in class. So you know what I'm saying? It's just, it's giving me as a percussion director, wow, wait, you can send me a video of what I'm teaching in class and I can actually cover more ground and just do even more things. And so I've been planning on, there's two things I've been working through. How can I insert more technology for testing bases to create more time in class to teach? And then number two is, what, how do I want my drum camp to go, and what do I want from drum camp to be a part of the football season to help us for, you know, UIL marching? And it's been fun. You know, granted, I haven't been able to be in front of my kids, but I'm saying, like, okay, I want to play these warm-ups. I think this will be beneficial when we come out of the stands. I want to, you know, all that kind of stuff.
You hearing you, I got a couple words. There was one, obviously, compassion. But there was compassion for ourselves. But yeah. Innovative. Y'all are being innovative in what we're doing.
Trying to be real.
And then overall, man, to be an optimist. Like, we have to be optimistic if we're at the helm. At the top, if we're the pinnacle of the organization, and most of us are as teachers, right. If you want to operate and think that way, we control what we put out to our students. And if we're being pessimist and saying, why are we even planning if we don't even know if we have a season going on the fall?
Right.
You know, and yeah. I love that y'all are doing that you're even creating contingency plans, like, okay, hey, let's put a plan in place. Like, if they give us a thumbs up in June, we're not scrambling and trying to
come up with ideas. Right. Yep.
And if we don't, then we just push that back or condense that or change it up to fit it for July. And if we don't get it by July, then we book it toward, you know what I mean? But to give our kids at least, you know, some might argue that's a false sense of hope, but no, it's, there's some type of hope there. Like, you know, we're locked up. You know what I mean? For some of us that, my wife and I joke about it all the time. You and I are extreme extroverts, and our wives talk about that. But for my wife, for being an introvert, she's like, and I asked her, I was like, man, what if this, you know, continues or goes for months on? She's like, then people like me will be okay. We'll be just fine, you know? And I'm just like, I'm thinking to myself, like, what? But I forget, you know? You and I would be, you know, at the coffee shop. We would be, you know, talking
it up
to people. Exactly. And so all this to say is to be mindful of our time and to separate that. Read the book that you've been wanting to read.
Right.
You know, hit up that mentor. You know what I mean? Like, I love what's going on. Like, I legit do love the camaraderie, the collegialism that's going on right now within colleagues of getting together and doing these virtual, you know, band director talks or music educator talks, because what I love about that, it's giving access to some of our colleagues
that wouldn't
get it. You know what I mean?
And it
gives people that access. So now it made me start thinking about, if we have time, us as urban music educators, us as inner city or Title I or under resource, what would that look like for, you know, serving our own programs? Because we were already kind of doing that within our own little circle saying, like, hey, man, I got you. Let me come do a masterclass on this. Or let me clinic your band. Let me do this. What would that look like of saying, hey, get all your trumpets on and have Mr. Newman from Booker T. Washington give a trumpet masterclass like he did for the Houston ISD band directors last week?
Right.
You know, and allowing ourselves to be, you know, helping others in this time of need of not knowing, because that question mark still lies there. And it's like, okay, I'm doing something beneficial. I'm able to give kids, you know, access to sometimes a lesson that they wouldn't otherwise have received if, you know, given their situation or transportation, yeah. X, Y, and Z, and then still create contingency plans after that. Record it and make it accessible later on for kids to go back and view it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I love that you said that, because now we're in a place of plan. And so I'm in my independent study with for conducting, and my professor has named two books, and I went ahead and bought those because I felt they were so like beneficial for me that I was like, I'm blocking time this summer to read both those books because of the excerpts that we discussed were so beneficial. So it's kind of like it's doing things on purpose to not only keep ourselves sane, but at the same time creating this forward progress and being.
Yeah.
But then I would also, I'm giving suggestions and I'm giving things, but I also want to make sure that I'm clear in saying that it's okay not to do. It's okay to just be. If you ain't feeling it that day, hey, by all means, you know, do what you need to do to come back or, you know, get whole again or whatever the case may be, because these times are weird. And so what we're trying to do, though, is obviously provide some tangible and some strategies, things that you can go back and do within yourself or your programs.
And I think one of the things is, like, you and me as educators and the rest of our colleagues, we are constantly, you know, before this pandemic, our career has been based on the foundation of, you know, teaching kids without seeming to, you know, too Disney, but teaching kids that the unthinkable is possible and that, like, you can hope for something amazing if you put the work in, regardless if you're in that environment or if that moment is happening right there. We don't know what the outcome of UIL will be. We don't know what the judges are going to say to us, much like we do during UIL season. We're just working. We are just putting things to the pile. We're working on getting the pieces better. We're working on sight reading. We're trying to build better students with this notion that when we get to the stage, this is how we're going to perform. Well, I would like for us to look at this pandemic, as crazy as it is, as an opportunity for our kids to see the consistency of us as teachers, that we would not, although we may be fearful and worrisome, but the kids need to see a sense of solidarity. So when we get online, we see them in Zoom, one thing I preach and keep talking to my kids, hey, I need you to prepare for your audition. You need to be prepared so that way I can put you in the best position possible. Now, if I get on and say, oh yeah, just do what you can, then those kids are not only going to do that, but their attitude is going to reflect, well, he don't even know if we're going to be You know what I'm saying? But if the kids hear me saying, like, keep working, in their mind, they're going to think we just as crazy as during marching season, we telling them, hey, let's do it again. I know it's hot. I know that, you know, UIL marching is 2 months away, but let's do it again, and let's do it like it's happening tomorrow. And so my advice and my encouragement is, like, don't allow the people that look up to you and follow you to see you losing hope. Yeah, they let them see you working with wisdom. Like, obviously, we're not asking kids to come to the band hall and stuff like that, but let them see you just as energetic, just as powerful. So that way, in their mind, they're like, well, shoot, if Mr. McLean is still saying this and he's still excited, I need to keep working in the midst of all of this, man. So, yeah, it's just prime time for us to just relax, but let the kids still see in us working. So when we do, like you said, Eric, when we come back, we're not all scrambling, but we coming back like, hey, let's print the music up. Let's start warm-ups. We're going to do a warm-up drill here. Let's go into our physical warm-up and whatever the case may be.
So one of our colleagues hit me up yesterday, actually, and just asked me flat out, like, what do you see as my strengths? And then he backdoored and said, what are my weaknesses?
Yeah.
And so I answered, and given that I had a 2-year-old running around, and I was like, I forgot to even follow up, like, hey, why are you asking me this? So I did today, and I asked him, like, what was your purpose of asking me that? He's like, I'm in a state of reflection. I got time on my hands, and so I'm being cognizant of what can I do better, what can I, you know, improve on. And what I ended with when we ended the conversation, which is I said, I love that you're doing that, but also give yourself the credibility of and acknowledgement of all the work you've done.
Yeah.
Because that, and I want to, I'm giving and then I'm taking, because I, you know, one can say, hey, this is a time to be innovative, and then backdoor it. And I'm like, well, he's contradicting himself and just exists. The good thing that we have is that we can garner ourselves up. You know what I mean? Like, from bell to bell, we didn't really have time to get things in order, to get things in line. Now, you know, if you know you have a 9 o'clock Zoom class, you can prepare yourself 30 minutes prior to that. You can meditate. Right. You can drink a cup of coffee or two to wake up. To, you know, you can prepare yourself.
Yes.
to present the best product to your kids.
That's good.
We are, man. We like, I love that you're doing that even on a virtual aspect, because I missed the day and day grind of that aspect, K through 12, that I knew what I was for these kids. I walked in with the intent of serving in that capacity. And I do miss that. So when I go in clinic and stuff, it's like, man, I can see the impact that I had even with one visit on these students.
Right.
You know, I miss that aspect of doing it day in and day out, because they get crushed all the time. They, you know, their surroundings are telling them they can't do X, Y, and Z. And we have always been those people to say, no, you know what?
You can.
You're gonna do it. You're gonna work twice as hard.
Yeah.
But we're gonna do this. You know what I mean? Right. And then, but at the same time, showing that flexibility and that compassion when they come at you and say, you know what, I didn't get around to it, sir. I'm going to need another day or so. Cool, man. I'll look out for it for the next day or so.
Sure.
Let me know how I can help you. All this to say, man, this is unprecedented times. And I want to find out, man, as we go on through these weeks, I want to reach out to some people that are doing things with some unconventional, unorthodox, new, innovative, that are doing things, because there are ideas popping in my head right now of how we can, you know, do this. We are doing, we're completing it, but we've finished some virtual leadership training for Marching Storm at Prairie View. We're considering, you know, all these options of doing things and keeping connected with our students. We communicate with our incoming freshmen per area. You have to keep a forward progress mindset. And I love my boss is doing that. Dr. Zach is making sure that, encouraging us to say, you know what, we're still going to work as if we're having a season in the fall.
That's good.
When we get there, we get there. But for the time being, let's keep working. All this to say, this is the same way we need to be for our students.
Mm-hmm.
We are that pinnacle. Give yourself compassion, give yourself flexibility, but be that mindful person to say, you know what, I am that person that the students look forward to when they sign on. Or, you know, I can't wait to do the lesson, that because it takes my mind off of everything else that's going on. Whatever we know we serve as is to continue to do that. So, Justin, man, what's some takeaways you got for some people?
Take time to live your life and do the things that you need to do, right? Like, if grocery store is important, if you got to go grab, you know, a few weeks I had to go grab diapers at 12 o'clock and I was still, you know, contextually on the clock, but I needed to go do that for my family. So don't allow yourself to go crazy trying to keep standards that would be normal in your, you know, if I was clocking in at the job. You are at home, do your job, still take care of what you need to take care of for your house and for your own mental health. And don't stop planning and stop working and thinking about the future. Don't allow what's presently happening to dictate what we don't know about August and September. Keep working. Keep coming up with a vision for your kids, for your program, and where you want to be as a professional. So, yeah.
I agree 100%. This is a time to stop and reflect, to be present, to do what you can with limits for yourself and your family. Like, just be aware of what you're capable of doing. And be okay to just give yourself breaks. Yeah. Be okay to say, you know, I can't do that right now.
Right.
And continue to provide this type of overall positive experience for our students that they know found solace in our classrooms and doing music with us. So we're standing with everybody. We're hoping this stuff gets, you know, this goes away soon.
Yeah.
This too shall pass. And this is all just something that we're all navigating together. And so I would encourage everybody to have some more compassion and flexibility for each other as we all learn to navigate this new way of doing things. This has been another production of The Score. Connect with us on social media at @PodTheScore. Send us an email, podthescore@gmail.com, or visit our website, revivalmusicproject.org. If you've enjoyed this episode, do us a huge favor. Rate and review us. This will help us reach even more listeners. Intro music by Justin McLean. The rotation and outro music by Ben Borges. And as always, let's continue to impact these lives through the vehicle of music.